We had a holiday last week from Ephesians, and we're back there today in chapter 2, and we've been looking at the believer's position in the grace of God. And as believers, you know, that's a blessing for us to know that, you know, as we study the Word of God, as we look to God to lead and guide us to be filled and led of His Spirit, we become a people of grace. And that's what God wants for us, to become a people of grace, to know the position we have in the grace of God. And today we're looking at the fact that we are now alive from the dead. That's the title of the message, Alive from the Dead. And I'd like to read that passage again for you so we get it into our hearts and minds this morning. So in chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, and it tells us there, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." What a treasure of truth that we find in Ephesians chapter 2. And you could probably lay every verse here as one message, as such is the depth and the richness of this chapter. And we have all probably heard of someone, or seen maybe on the news or whatever, someone being resuscitated. There may have been an accident, or someone's heart may have failed, or some kind of tragedy, and the rescue efforts have got the heart pumping again, and that person's been brought back to life. They've had the mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, and maybe the paddles put on their chest, and they've been brought back from what people say, he's been brought back from the dead. Well, we read in our text this morning, in verse 1, that, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, we know in Genesis 2:17 that God had warned Adam, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, this doesn't mean physical death, because Adam and Eve were still alive physically after they had eaten the fruit. And here in Ephesians, the death is referring to spiritual death, not physical death. Now, because Adam is what we would call the federal head of the human race, in other words, he's the first created, all have descended from him, well then, in Adam, we are told in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And death is here meaning to us today, death is talking about not just a physical death, but a separation from God of the spirit and body. See, physical death is a separation of a spirit from a body, but the death that we're talking about here, where we're dead in our trespasses and sins, is talking of a spiritual death, and that is separation from God. You know, sin always comes with separation. You can't separate the two. Sin comes with separation. If you allow sin to enter a home, it'll separate a husband and wife. If you allow sin to enter the home, it'll separate the children from their siblings and their parents. If you allow sin to enter into a business, it'll separate the workers from the bosses. If we allow sin into our lives, sin separates. It's as simple as that. And we notice here that the Holy Spirit is dealing with what we are, not what we have done. See, on the outside, we look very much alive, but on the inside, before we were saved, we were cut off from God, the author of life. And every man, woman, and child, regardless of how clever, how well-behaved they may be, if they're not saved, they are in the state of being dead in trespasses and sin. Now, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, a righteous and upstanding man in his day, Jesus said to him, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now Nicodemus, he was shocked at that. You read the context of it, he's going, "Well, how can that happen?" But Nicodemus, just like Adam, thought everything was okay until they heard the voice of God. And when Adam and Eve heard the voice of God, they ran away and hid themselves in the trees of the garden. See, there are people today who say they are good. They live a good life. They do good things. But people don't go to hell because they're bad, and people don't go to heaven because they're good. People go to heaven because they've accepted Christ as their Saviour, and people go to hell because they reject Him as the Saviour of man. And the question is, are you born again? Have you been quickened? And the Greek meaning there means to co-join with someone. Are you together with Christ? Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Now 1 John 5:11 and 12 tells us, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God has not life." If you're here today without Christ as your Saviour, if you're here today and have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and received Him into your heart, then you're lost. Doesn't matter how good you may be, you're lost. Now we were by nature, it tells us in verse 2, "wherein the time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And with the world there means, does not mean a physical world or the world of man, because God tells us that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The world in our text is meaning about the age that we are living in. For us, the age we're living in today. The course of this world. See, the ways of the unsaved who live for the moment, live for pleasure, live for satisfaction, live for their holidays and their times of joy and times off. They want the security that's found in this world. You see, they've forgotten God. They've left God off. And everyone knows, and everyone who knows not God lives in this world. The question that we need to ask ourselves, is this the realm we belong to? We also walk, it tells us there, according to the prince of the power of the air. We know that. That's Satan. See, before we were saved, we were in a realm that Satan rules over. We were his subjects. And it's interesting, we are given here the doctrine of Satan. What part of it? The part that he is a real personality. See, many deny this truth. See, they've fallen for the trap of just taking the D off devil and believing there is evil. They will not believe that the devil is an intelligent being. If God exists, then the devil exists. That's what the Bible tells us. And those who deny the devil exists are attacking the inspiration of the scriptures. They are attacking the deity of Christ. They deny the inspiration of the Word of God into this world. And they deny God. And these people are deceiving and leading souls to hell and eternal damnation. See, the devil is not what this world says. He's not some red-covered monster with a tail and horns and a pitchfork. He is a real being with a real personality, with a real goal to lead as many souls to hell as he can. And if you are born again, he cannot have your soul, but he can make your life a misery by robbing you of the joy of your salvation. He is not a joke. He is an intelligent being deceiving millions and millions of people to who he really is. Now, we know his original name was Lucifer, or son of the morning, or morning star. And there's some Bible versions who attribute that title to Christ. A terrible thing. But he wanted to be like God. He wanted to exalt his throne above the stars of God. In Isaiah 14:12, the result of his rebellion was to be cast out of heaven, and we now know him as Satan the deceiver. Now, it's interesting, in Luke 10:18, Jesus himself was a witness to that event. He says, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Now, God in his love promised that Jesus would eventually crush the head of the serpent and bring a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, we are also said to have been children of disobedience before we were saved. You see, until man fell in the garden, he was surrounded by the will of God. In other words, he was subject to God's will in all things. You know, what a state to be in. Wonderful. But after the fall, man's relationship with God through sin was broken. Man had now separated himself from God. You see, Satan came to Adam and Eve, and Satan said, "Hey, your life under God, that's too regimented. That's too ordered. Your life is too sheltered. You want to have some real freedom? Come out from under the God's umbrella of protection. Come out from his hand of love upon your life. Become who you want to be. Listen, you're something more than what God's doing for you at this time. God's will for you is nothing but to put you under bondage." You know, Jesus tells us that the truth shall make you free indeed. He is the way, the truth, and the life. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me," he said. That's the truth. You want freedom? Bring Christ into your life. You want true freedom? If you're saved, then live the life of Christ. Don't live for this world anymore. You've been set free from it. It's sad to say, though, man listened to the devil. They disobeyed God and became the children of disobedience. And every one of us here today, if we're all born again, that's what we were once were. We're children of disobedience. And every unsaved person today is a child of disobedience. And we're reminded in verse 3, among whom also we had our conversation. That's our way of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what we were. Now, what we are determines what we do. That's what that verse is telling us. That's what's being described here. See, that was the state of our lives before Christ. And the word lust here is not meaning some revolting, reviling sin. It's telling us it's a fulfilling of the desires of our flesh. Listen, even the unsaved offer prayers. The unsaved help the poor. The unsaved give to charities. They even go to church. They do many things that the world commends them for doing. They do things that are right. But doing right things, doing good things, can never make right the wrong of God, of man before God. See, the liberals and the modernists today that have crept in, see, they've taken hold of what once was the word delivered to the saints. They've taken hold of the old traditions, the old ways, the true ways, and they've come in and they've influenced many churches and denominations today to just let things go. Let's just enjoy perverted Bible versions. Let's just enjoy rock and roll music. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll change the words so it sounds okay, but we'll leave that devil's beat behind it. That's what they do. And they try to deny that man is a sinner in need of a saviour, but they can deny that all they like, but we cannot change, and it will not change, the truth of God. That without Christ, a man is dead in trespasses and sin. 1 John 4:14 says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God." So you can't take that out. You can't change that. That's the truth. And in verses 1 to 3 that we've looked at, we've seen a terrible, terrible portrait of man's condition before God without salvation. That's what we were. We were dead in sins. But if you look at verse 4, and I've mentioned before one of my favorite two words, but God. Isn't that amazing? So simple, but God. You see, we were dead in sins, but God. We did walk according to the course of this world, but God. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air, but God. We were children of disobedience, but God. We were in the lusts of our flesh, but God. We were children of wrath, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Isn't that amazing? If it weren't for his grace, we wouldn't have a chance. We wouldn't stand any hope at all. Now, the question is, when did God first love us? Was it after I was saved? Well, the answer is given to us in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together in Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, even when we were dead in sins, he planned and purposed in his mercy to save whosoever will may come by his grace in his Son. You see, man left to his own ability, his own provision, his own way, his own thoughts, cannot right the wrong done by sin. Salvation is not an old man being repaired. Salvation is the creation of a new created man. And what God did for man in salvation, we are told here, is the result of God, which is of what God is, which is, it tells us, rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. And not only has God quickened us, co-joined us with Christ, but he has also raised us up to a new life that's given to the sinner, and he or she is lifted now out of the realm and principalities of Satan into a new realm in the life in Christ. No longer are saved people under Satan's power and influence. No longer are they walking together according to the ways of this age. We have been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean? See, many have said, and I think I've said it too, but many have said that we're sitting together in heaven with Christ right now. Now listen, one day we will be when we go to be with him. But notice the verse says we're seated in Christ. Now it's just like as we learnt before, we are chosen in Christ. That doesn't mean we're special people God picked out as being in what Christ has done. Okay, we don't preach Calvinism or Reformed doctrine here. It's in Christ that we're seated. Because you know what that means? When he is our representative. See, our life is hidden in him. See, Jesus is seated as high as God can seat him, and God views the church, his body, with the head. Now, what a wonderful position we are in. What an amazing picture is before us. It tells us in the ages to come, in the eternity of eternities, God will show, or in other words, God will put on a display the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. See, every believer is seated in Christ because Christ is there as our representative. Now, God will make known what has been done for poor lost sinners who have believed and received through his grace, through faith, salvation. Look, the mind boggles at the show that this will be. It absolutely boggles. See, we live in an age where man loves to put on a show. That's what they do. Everything is put on show. Man loves to show whatever he's doing. It doesn't take much to have a look at the YouTubes and these sort of things. Man are posting, they say. And in my day, when you posted something, you went to a shop and bought a stamp and an envelope and sent it off. But today, the people post things and their whole life is given for anyone to see. They want to show what they're doing. I burnt the toast this morning. Post it. That's what it's like. Man loves to show whatever he's doing, but it's for his own glory and his own good. See, this is a look-at-me world we live in. But listen, there's a display that's coming that is going to this world that is going to outshine anything man can do. Jesus will come physically, bodily to this earth again, and he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will rule over this earth. He will come with the church, his redeemed ones, the ones he redeemed with his own blood. He will place his feet physically on the Mount of Olives and reveal himself as the rightful heir to David's throne. There's a show. That's a show. His glory will fill the earth for 1,000 years, and at the close of that time, the eternity of eternities will begin. And he will show us right through eternity the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. That's in the ages to come. You think about it, how we know a year. So after millions and millions of years, as we know a year, God will still be unfolding and revealing to us his love, his grace, and his wisdom. And we will stand amazed at the wonders of God's person as he unveils to us his glory and his grace. Oh, what a time that's going to be. And we see why, and we're told in this text why. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you notice in verse 8, it says there that salvation is a present possession. We are saved. We're not being saved. We're not getting better and better and more saved as we go along. Once you're saved, you are saved. And the agent of our salvation is faith. And it is also the gift of our salvation. It's not of yourselves. You see, God provides the gift that enables us to lay hold of him. Oh, what a wonderful relationship that is. And verse 9 shows us it's got absolutely nothing to do with us. Not a works, lest any man should boast. Listen, we've not long had an election in our country. And we have to be honest. It's a time of boasting of what man can do and will do. That's all elections are. Look at me, this is what I'm going to do. Look at me, and this is where we're going to go. See, that's what man does. But no man, no woman, no child can ever boast about being in heaven, because salvation is by grace through faith plus absolutely nothing else. It is a gift of God to whoever will receive it. You know, it's like the person that people is a group supposedly in heaven, and they're, how did you get here? How did you get to heaven? Well, I serve God faithfully. What about you? How did you get to heaven? Well, I gave my tithes. What about you? Well, I fed the poor. What about you? I reached the lost. All of which should be done, but none of which we could ever boast about, because we shall be in glory because of God's grace and his love and faith he bestowed upon us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. End of story. We will be there because of the riches of his mercy, in which the world was before the world was the purpose of salvation in his Son. That's it. End of story. There's no other way. Sort of humbles us a little bit to, we think we may be a little bit better than somebody else. Oh, we've got it together. The only person who's got it together is the one who has humbled themselves and accepted Christ as their Saviour. There'll be many people in heaven we may have thought they're not going to be there. Verse 10 tells us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Listen, if we are created in Christ unto good works, then that means we are able to perform good works, and listen carefully, that are acceptable to God. Not acceptable to man, but acceptable to God. Now, Romans 12, we know these. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. That's the least we should do. And be not conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that acceptable, good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You see, a believer is saved without works, so that he or she can perform the good works of every kind that are acceptable unto God. And one of Satan and his army of demons is the one who declares they're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but those influenced by him, but they become and do nothing more than being a pew warmer. That's all they do. God has saved us to serve. He put it simply, for we have his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work. I'll finish with this. Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. See, God in his mercy, the riches of his mercy, in his love and grace, has raised us from the dead state we were in, spiritual deadness, and seated us in Christ in the heavenly, and he has given us a glorious future, and it's all of him, nothing to do with us. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you this morning humbly, meekly, and just look at your word. And Lord, I'm sure I'm the same as everyone else here. The more I look at it, the more I'm amazed at the simplicity and the truth that is in here. I thank you that once I was alienated from the life of God and I was destitute of the Spirit. But now, by grace through your faith, what I was has finished. And what I am is all because of you. And what will be is the wonderful truth we have to look forward to, all of you. And we thank you, Father, for it. And we praise you, Lord, for the riches of your mercy. We ask these things to be in Jesus' precious name. thanking you for what you have done. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.